beginning and the end, the first, the last, you are the great I am. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
As I think about, even as Brother Joe came and gave the challenges, not by accident, as I've said already, that God would point us in that direction, because I have asked many a times, if y'all heard me say, as many times as I get to preach or teach or even speak the Word of God, it's never that anything that I take lightly and don't take it for granted. And I just praise God for the message that He then laid on my heart, and then Brother Joe to come and challenge us from the Word of God about giving when it comes from John 3:16.
Amen.
And as I thought about this many, many days or many weeks ago, as to preach from this area of Scripture, it takes me back to remember that even through our travels and everywhere that we've gone over the last few years or the last few or days in traveling, the more I see men who need to be saved.
That's right, Pastor. That's good.
Women, boys and girls who need to be saved.
Yep.
And to know that they are saved. There are so many people today who are trusting in feelings, they're trusting in a special event, they're trusting in material things, they're trusting in everything, and then we ask ourselves the question, why are things happening the way that they are, and why people behave the way that they behave, and the things that are going on in our world and our society today is because man needs to be regenerated in their hearts. They need to know Christ as their Savior. It's not going to be because we have role models. It's not going to be because we have great examples in men and women, and we should have great examples in men and women. But I find it to be not ironic, but when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus didn't talk to Nicodemus about the culture and about the things that were going on in their society. God knew what Nicodemus needed, and Nicodemus did really need to know who he was, because he was not just any man. He was the Son of God. And if you go back to chapter number 2, where Jesus is speaking to his those that were there, and it talks about how Jesus never committed to them because he knew their hearts, because they weren't coming to Jesus because they really wanted to know Jesus. They were coming to Jesus because they were excited about the miracles that he was performing. But let me tell you something, the greatest miracle that could take place in a heart and in a life is that a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. All the other miracles are therefore to show us that he's God, but the greatest miracle that needs to take place in a life is coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So when Nicodemus came to God, God went directly right to the heart of the matter. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born again, he cannot even enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what he was dealing with Nicodemus about. You know, we ask ourselves, what is wrong with our nation?
Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? The greatest problem in our nation is a sinful heart. Person or people who've never trusted God. And we're not going to get the answer anywhere else but from God. And what we need is a moving of God in the hearts and lives of people like you and I who are professing to be Christians to go out and witness and tell people about the Lord. And I'll be the first to raise my hand tonight, this morning, that I'm ashamed of not witnessing the way that I ought to. You said, Pastor, you're a preacher, but you know what? I need to be convicted in my heart that I will witness to those that need to hear the gospel. I went all over the world, and everywhere I went this past 2 weeks, I saw people who are in need of Jesus Christ. So when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he came with a need that he didn't even know he had because he was religious. And see, there are many people today that are religion and holding on to religion. But you know what? Religion has never done anything but send people to hell. You ask those that are down there today that are filled with religion, because if they never received Christ as Savior, they're not in heaven. They're in hell. I don't want to go ask them because I don't want to go there. I know when I die, I know where I'm going, because I know and remember the day that I trusted Christ as Savior. And God has given us a great commission to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Nicodemus had a need. He was inquiring. And I, you know, as I think about it, that wasn't even the introduction to the message. But it's all good, amen. I think about it. I'm going to try to stay on track, but you know what? I got a couple of Sundays to preach anyway, so we'll get through this, amen? But I want you to think about, here he was, he's inquiring. But the inquiry was about the gospel, really, because Nicodemus wanted to understand Jesus. He says in verse number 1, he said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he was God, amen, because the miracles that he was doing was because he was God. But I want you to notice, as I said here in the verse number, chapter number 2, look at verse 23. He says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. See, God knew that those that were with him there were looking for the miracles. But see, God didn't commit to them because they weren't committed to him. See, there were many that were there for the show. There were many that were there, but they were there, but they weren't saved. They didn't know Jesus as Savior. They didn't know him, and God wasn't committing to them because they were not regenerated in their heart. You know what? And God is not going to waste a lot of time on people who do not want to hear the truth. He's going to move on to the one that wants to hear the truth.
That's right.
And that's what he did, because they wouldn't commit to him. In other words, they really didn't believe him. They really didn't believe in him. So he didn't commit a whole lot of time to them. Because you know what? It's a sad testimony. And let me say this by way of introduction, because he's introducing something to them. There are going to be many that are going to stand before God when he does come. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. And this is what's happening here. Just to kind of give you an idea of what was going on. Nicodemus, I mean, think about it. His party, he was a man of the Pharisees. His position, he was a ruler of the Jews. His profession, he was a master teacher. And he was full of religion, but he had no idea of who Jesus was. Has never taught about Jesus in the sense of salvation. He was doing it because he was drawing attention to himself. And he wanted to be somebody in stature. But you know what? I found out one of the greatest tragedies in our world today, we got religious leaders and religious people who are not saved, and people are listening to them. And religion is knowing nothing for them. Religion will never do anything for you. Religion will send you to hell. And Jesus is introducing something to Nicodemus, of something that he needs to do, and that was to introduce him to this new birth that needed to take place in his life. Christ was not wasting any time getting to the ground or getting to the around to the thing that Nicodemus needed. He inquired of God, and you know what? When you ask a preacher something, he'll tell you something you need to hear if he's really a preacher that's worth anything in his weight. Amen. Jesus, in the inquiry we see that happened here by Nicodemus, Jesus introduces him to the gospel because he needs to hear the gospel. And I'm sure this morning I can say without a doubt that I know that Pastor Dawson this morning invited Carmen's family to church because he wants them to hear the gospel. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to hear the truth. Teresa and I, our greatest joy, our greatest desire was to meet with our youngest daughter and see her and find out for sure that she's going to a good Bible-believing preaching church because you know what? She needs to hear the gospel message. She needs to hear the word of God. That was our whole intent. That was our desire that she would be hearing the word of God. And when Jesus is introducing the gospel to Nicodemus, his response was this inquiry was it was of the fact that he did not understand what Jesus was talking about. I want you to notice, first of all, the nature of this new birth. When you think about the births that have taken place in our church, and you think about the births that have taken place in our society, think about it. First of all, the very first birth that ever took place was that from the soil. When God reached down into the miry clay and he pulled Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. But that's not the gospel, amen. When you think about the surgical birth that took place, when God formed Adam and put him to sleep and reached into his side and opened him up and took out a rib and formed a woman, and that's not salvation, but that was a surgical birth that only God could do. And you think about the sac birth, where a child is born of water and of the Spirit, is a natural birth. We think about the virgin birth, where our Lord Jesus Christ was born, and it was a Savior born into the world who came to die for our sin. But the one that he's talking about here is the spiritual birth that only can be done through the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in the hearts and the life of a person to come to know Jesus Christ, their Savior. This is what he's talking about. That's why it's so important for us today when Jesus is talking about the nature of this birth. He's talking about it not in those senses, but he's talking about a divine birth that took place that he's talking about in verse number 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He says, marvel not, I say unto you, ye must be born again. And it's not only that we see the distinctiveness of this birth. It's not soil. It's not surgical. It's not sac. It's not the Savior. But it's a spiritual birth. Think about the dynamics of this verse. When we think about the distinction, it has a dynamic to it. And what I like about it is it a dynamic impact on a person in a dynamic way where it changes their life and changes their eternal destiny. And that's what a person needs in their life today. Amen. They need a change in their life. And it's dynamic because when you get saved, God's spirit comes in and dwell you, and there ought to be some things that change in your life. You ought to have a new desire. You ought to have a new attitude because it ought to change you. There are so many people that make professions of Jesus Christ, and you never see a change. I don't know how you can be born of something and not have a desire for it. When you're born physically, every one of us have a desire for food. When we're born spiritually, we ought to have a desire for Jesus Christ. We ought to have a desire for him to change our lives. But many Christians today don't have a desire to be changed. They got it like Pastor Cummings used to tell us. They got their fire insurance policy. Yeah, they may not die and go to hell, but they ain't living for the Lord.
That's right, Pastor White.
Because when you get saved, there ought to be a change in your life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things ought to become new. There ought to be some changes in your life. It's a dynamic birth by the change that it brings in your life. I know that many of us this morning, just like myself, and as I was preaching there for Brother Herndon on that Thursday night, you know, it ought to be our desire that God would use us to win somebody else to the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know anybody ever found something that was worth anything that they didn't want to share it with somebody else. Well, maybe you just ain't filled enough with the Spirit that you desire to share it with somebody else. How many of us got family members, and we talk about it all the time? We travel around the world. We go places. We talk to them. We look at them on Facebook. We communicate them with all of these other things. I can't even think of all these communications that's going on this morning. My heart is so filled up with it. But don't you see that great need of knowing Christ as Savior? You think about what's happening in our society. If it's going to change, it's going to have to be a change in the hearts and lives of people. And God ought to change us. There ought to be a distinctiveness about this birth, what it is, but there ought to be a dynamic change in this birth. So Christ is introducing this dynamic birth to Nicodemus. A changed life has new desires, has new values, has new priorities, has new hope, and has a new attitude. And when I think about that, I think about when I go back, most of y'all probably don't even remember all those old blues, and y'all hear me talking about them old songs and all these things. When we go back home, I'm reminded of that old life that I used to live in, places I used to go, things I used to do. I don't have a desire for those things anymore. And my values have changed because of the change in my life. And that's the way it ought to be. And that's what Jesus was trying to introduce to Nicodemus. If you're still living the old life that you said that you used to live, there's something wrong with the salvation that you have. Now, I might not know your heart, but you know what? As the wind blow, we can't see it, but we can see the results of it. And that's the thing that Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus that is so dynamic about this spiritual birth. Look at verse number 8. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know what? I cannot be a heart inspector, but I can certainly be a fruit inspector. Because if you've been changed and you've been saved, there ought to be a difference in your life. There ought to be a new desire. There ought to be a dynamic change in your life. Not only was it the nature of this birth that he wanted him to see, but he wanted them to see the need of this verse. Look at the need of this birth. Look at verse number 3. We go back there. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except that man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said in verse number 5, Jesus answered, and verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we see here the need of the verse. Notice, first of all, he says, except the man. It's a universal need. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you go. I don't care what family you've been born in. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He sat in the high seat. He was religious. But you know what? It tells me that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl needs to be saved. It's a universal need in every person's life. When he says, verily, verily, not only was it universal, but it was an urgent need. It's an urgency in the world today that people get saved. It's urgent. You know what? No days are promised to us. The Bible says now is the day. Now is the accepted time. You don't know that you'll live to see tomorrow. And Nicodemus didn't know where he would live to see tomorrow because he was religious. And he'd have died right after Jesus had spoke to him. Nicodemus would have died and went to hell. And so are a lot of people today. He said, depart from me, because they didn't want to commit to him. But if you commit to him, he will commit to you. And he will commit in such a way that he gives you his Spirit to birth you anew. The change takes place. The birth takes place. It's dynamic. It's a new nature. It's universal, and it's urgent that you do it, because you don't know where you'll be tomorrow. I think about Teresa and I traveling the highways and the byways, and I ain't saying it this morning because I'm proud of it. Teresa and I got to my brother's house, and my brother has a trike. Y'all know what that is? Three wheel. Now, I got a bike too. I jumped on that thing and riding and get to riding. Let me tell y'all a story. It'll happen. Miss White and I get up that morning when we get to my brother's. We're going to go bike riding. And, you know, like us men, we know, brother. We know what we're doing, right? She said, honey, it like it's going to rain. Oh, we'll be okay. We get out there, Brother Joe, and get to riding going towards Raleigh. And it started raining, Miss Reba. So, I guess we might want to kind of turn around. We sit under the overhang for a little while. And it kind of slacked off a little bit. And I said, well, okay, we're going to ride a little bit farther. We go a little bit farther, and it's still raining. So now it looked like the GPS is just kind of wrapping us around, whatever. So we turn to go back towards the house where my brother lived. And now, Natasha, is raining that way. And by this time, we're riding. And I'm saying, well, maybe we ought to go home. And now, Brother Serge, it just started pouring down rain. Miss White back there. And you know what? She was steaming. And she was steaming, because here I am riding my husband. He done got me soaking wet. But I praise God. Brother, we get up the next day. We're going to ride that bike again. we go to riding, and we on 95 riding, and with his trike, if y'all can understand with a two-wheel, what I'm used to riding, you just kind of lean into the turn. Well, with a trike, you got to kind of push it around. Amen? If you're going to go right, if you're going to go left, you got to kind of push the handlebars to the right so it'll steer to the right. And if you're going to go left or go right, you got to kind of push it to the left so that it go right. Well, I got in this curve instead of pushing, I'm turning, and we just turning, sister, right on up to the banks of the... And I don't want to kill my wife. Praise the Lord. I didn't have the cruise locked in, and we weren't going too fast. And we just... The engine died. I looked at Miss White. She said, honey, let's just pray. Thank God for it. But you know what? What it shows me is the frailty of life. I could have died. But you know what? Could have killed her and myself. But you know what? If I had, I know where I'm going. See, that's why it's so important. Today is the day. When I left y'all 2 weeks ago, if that had happened, you would have said, I can't believe that that happened to Pastor White. But you know what? I would have been in the glories of heaven. But what about you this morning? See, it's universal and it's urgent. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you need to know him today. So he talks about it in such a way that Nicodemus scratching his head, and again, the title of it, how can these things be? And you got the great master teacher here teaching and telling him about the importance of salvation and how he needs to be saved and how this is to happen. The need of the verse was this birth is universal. It's an urgent need. And 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says this, for he have said, I have heard thee in time acceptable, in the day of salvation. I have succoring thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But you know what happens next? After this introduction, Jesus dealt with the ignorance of the gospel. See, a lot of people are ignorant when it comes to the gospel. You know, I look around home and I remember many a times I used to walk the road and walk the streets down there where we went to my grandmother's house. And I remember many a times of going to that church that's right about a mile, ain't even a mile from where I grew up. And how many times I went in that church and I never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And I wonder how many people that are there were ignorant of the fact of this new birth that we're talking about, because when you talk to those that have been members of the church for all of their life, they have no idea what he's talking about, and they're ignorant. And Nicodemus was ignorant of this gospel. The ignorance of the gospel, the commands by ignorance, the comments that Nicodemus gave shows us that he was evident that he was ignorant of this gospel, because he tried to carnalize it. What do you mean by that, Pastor White? You know what? I look around and she ain't even in here this morning. When I was thinking about this, I thought about little Joy. I thought about Isaac. I thought about little Gabriel and all of those babies that's been born today. How many of you mothers would want your child that you just gave birth to go back into your womb? I don't know his name. What is his name, brother, that's holding the baby? What is his name? Seth. Your wife is not here, but she wouldn't want Seth to go back into her womb. That would be humanly impossible. But the carnal mind, that's the way it thinks. That, you know what, how can this be? How can he go into his mother a second time? How carnal-minded Nicodemus was. And when it comes to the truth, it tells me that Nicodemus is just like a whole lot of people. They try to rationalize and carnalize this thing that you're talking about when you say that they need to be saved. And the first thing they tell you is, I don't believe that. Because if he did, he wouldn't say, how can these things be? But tell me how I can get saved. Amen. Tell me how I can have this new birth. And I think about this elderly family that I've been witnessing to, and they just boggles my heart. One time I went into their home and I tried to share the message with them, and they wanted to beat me up and hit me with the Bible, because how do you know that the Bible is true? Here is Nicodemus. Not only did the Bible say he was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then he came into his own, and the people received him not. Here is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, sitting right across from him, talking to him. And he did not believe it because of his carnal thinking. Let me tell you something. You can't get any clearer than that. You can't get a better example of the truth being told to you by the Son of God, who is the Word of God. But it shows me something that has to take place in a person's life. It takes the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, to change a life. To change a life. I think about it the day that I got saved, and I hope you can have that testimony this morning. How excited you were. If you genuinely got it, you were excited about it. If you weren't excited, then something wrong with your exciter. Amen.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
But yet, how quickly that excitement can go away. And we hear about somebody else getting saved. We're not excited about it. If we actually think about it. Oh, huh. Brother Ken got saved. Oh, okay. Brother Dickens got saved. Oh, okay. When I got saved, I wanted to tell somebody about it.
Amen.
When you get saved, you ought to want to tell somebody about it. Yes. Amen? Amen. You ought to be excited about it. And that's the difference in getting saved. And that's what Jesus is trying to convey to Nicodemus about the importance of salvation. Not going back into the mother's womb, because it's not a natural birth. It's a spiritual birth. Nicodemus thinking in the carnal when what Christ is talking about is spiritual.
Yeah.
And then he goes on, if I'm telling you of earthly things, how would you ever believe if I told you of spiritual things? You know, it doesn't surprise me. Many people want the deep things of God. And ain't even scratched the surface. You can't get deep till you get planted. I'm a country boy. Ain't nothing gonna grow unless you put it in some soil. And the soil that you need to put it in is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Take the seed of God and plant it in your heart to rejuvenate and bring forth life. Then you really got deep.
Amen.
And growth takes place. But you want the deep things. And he said, Nicodemus, you don't even understand the simple things. And the birth of a child is simple, even though it may be a hard thing for a wife or a woman, but it's a simple thing. And Nicodemus ought to understood that. But what he didn't understand, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing that takes place in the heart and life of a person. So we see here that he's talking about the need of it, but he's talking about the ignorance that he saw in Nicodemus. Nicodemus was ignorant of what Christ was talking to him about. The ignorance comes in high places. You ever think about that? A lot of people, I think about when the Bible says it's just harder of a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle because he don't see his need because he think he's already got what he need. Nicodemus was religious, so he already thought he had what he needed. But all he had was religion, and what he did was he rejected the true gospel. Rejection is what took place. He says, we have told you of things that we know, and you receive it not, because you're rejecting the truth. And most people want to be religious, and they reject this simple truth when it comes to the gospel. That family that I'm talking about, they wanted to fight and debate over the Word of God. But you know what? If you don't believe the Word of God, ain't nothing going to change anyway. Nothing is going to happen. But that's okay, because Jesus moved on to the next person. But he took the time and he educated this religious man about his religion, because his religion was in vain, and Christ dealt with this religion that Nicodemus had. So we see him dealing with it. He carnalized it because that was not going to do him any good. And Christ deals with Nicodemus about this. the condemnation, or he condemned himself. When you think about it, not only we see the comments that he made with ignorance, but the condemnation that took place of his ignorance, his position. Look at verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye speak that ye know, and testify that ye have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Nicodemus' position condemned his ignorance. And that's why I say spiritual ignorance often comes in high places. And most people who are in a prominent position don't believe they need to be saved. And not only we see that his position condemned him, but notice the privilege that he had condemned him as well. What do you mean, Pastor White, when you say about the condition? He had not only a position, but he had an advantage, because Romans chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us this. What advantage then have the Jews? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Nicodemus not only had the privilege, he had the position, but he had the privilege of the word of God. And you know what's going to detriment to our society today? We have the position and we have the privilege,
yes, sir,
of the word of God. And our own ignorance is going to send people to hell because they don't want to believe this book. You don't have to believe it, but it don't change it.
Amen.
It's still God's word. It is still God's truth. And you don't have to accept it, but it still doesn't change the facts.
Right.
Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
Except a man be, not only except a man be born again, he cannot even enter the kingdom of God. He doesn't even have a chance. So his privilege and his position was that which was condemning him. Our society is in a position today where we have a chance to hear the gospel. We are a nation, as Brother Smith was saying, he's so proud that we could sing the battle hymn of the Republic. We are a nation that is founded on the principles of God, and we've gotten away from it, and the greatest damnation still awaits us because we've gotten away from the truth. And the ignorance of our nation is going to condemn us because we have the truth, and we choose to ignore it. And see, we're no different when it comes to our society than Nicodemus. We can talk about Nicodemus and say, man, I can't believe it. And you know what? And most of us would say, if Jesus was speaking to us, that we would listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is.
Yeah, he is, Pastor.
He is.
That's right.
There's no difference. Maybe he ain't here in the physical, but he's here in his word. And he's here by his spirit. And he's still taking his word and regenerating that word in the hearts and lives of people, spiritually birthing them to where when they die, they know for sure that they're going to heaven.
Amen.
What about you this morning? What about you? Boy, it's getting hot up here.
Amen.
What about you? So the rejection of the truth, a reliable source, not only we see the cause of his ignorance. You receive not our witness, as verse number 11 says. He rejected it. And likewise, the rejection of the gospel is disbelief that the Bible is true. The reliable source is the witness to all of us. The rejection of truth from a reliable source of ignorance is the consequences of what has happened to Nicodemus. But I like what Jesus does. He counters this ignorance by removing spiritual ignorance by coming by knowing Christ. See, it can be removed today if you come to know Christ the Savior. I like what Jesus is talking about in verse number 13. Look at verse 13. And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, Jesus is telling them about his position. No man has ever ascended up to heaven. He's ascended up to heaven means that he was in the highest council of the throne room of God. I think about it when we think about when a person gets saved. You know what? This is not our home. We're just a passing through. And we get a right to enter into the throne room of the grace of God, you know, because of our position in Christ. Because what is his is ours. And I can go boldly into the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy and grace to help me in time of need because of Christ's position, my position changes. What a wonderful truth when you think about it. You know what? That's what the devil wanted. He wanted it. Listen to what Isaiah 14 and verse 12 says this. He said, art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? Art thou how art thou cut down to the ground, which doest weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. That was his desire. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the side of the north. In other words, the devil wanted to be in that position. But you know what? We can have it because we know Christ is Savior. We get it. Nicodemus didn't get it because he was spiritually, he was ignorant of what Christ was talking about. This ignorance was going to send him to heaven. Christ was sharing his position with Nicodemus. But not only was he sharing his position, but he's showing his preexistence. He existed even from the beginning. In other words, he's still in heaven, even though he was right there sitting in front of him. Not only we see his preexistence, but we see his presence was still in heaven. And that was a tremendous statement. It tells us that he's omnipresent.
Yes, sir.
What a thought when you think about it, that he was conveying to this rich man who supposedly had all of this spiritual knowledge or religious knowledge, but he had no truth. He had no understanding of it. But this is the whole crux of all of it that I want you to see this morning, is the illustration of the gospel. The illustration. Because the illustration that Jesus gave him takes him back to the Old Testament. You know, y'all heard me say many of times when I witness to somebody, I want to take them back to where it all began. Because Jesus is using an example here that Nicodemus ought to understood what happened in Numbers chapter 21. Look at verse number 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now the illustration is given. It shows us the corruption that was there. The people here in Israel and their response to God was that they rejected him. In other words, they despised God. So the corruption there was that God was bringing judgment on them. So he was having all these serpents now to come and bite them. I want you to think about it this morning. The corruption provoked judgment because of the rejection of Christ. What brought the need of this cross is illustrated of the pole of the serpent that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about. And verse number 14, think about the corruption, but think about the curse of the cross. It represents sin as it was being put up there so they could see it. And when you think about sin, what does it do? Let's turn over to Numbers chapter 21. It'll be a lot easier to clarify because I want you to see it here in Numbers chapter number 21. And we're going to close with this, but I want you to see what happens here because this is the crux of the message for this morning's hour anyway. Numbers chapter number 21 and verse 6. Notice here with me in verse number 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they did bite the people. And much people of Israel did what? They died. So here we see that the curse here of the cross was the corruption that took place of that they brought amongst themselves. So God brought judgment because of it. You think about the curse when you think about this cause of the cross. It brought discomfort because of sin. I don't know about you, but I've had many things that bite me, and it's not a good thing. And sin has that kind of idea that the discomfort that it brought was the serpent, where the people were bitten, and it brought pain, and it brought sorrow. And you think about, that's what sin has done to our nation because of our disobedience to God and as many sorrows. There's many painful things that are going on in our society because of discomfort. And not only does it bring discomfort, but it brought defilement. Much people of Israel died because of their sin. Much of the people died. The snakes were poisonous. And when they bit the people, the poisonous venom defiled the body of those that were bitten by the serpents. And the people died because of that. So it brought defilement. It brought death. Also, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many people died, and many people are dying today in their sin and going to hell because of what happened. And our nation is doing the same thing that Israel did. They rejected the cross. And you know who did this? Not only did God curse them, but he commanded the cross to be there. The source of the command was God's idea. Look at verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon the pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. So we see here, God commanded it because it was necessary that it happen. But the very idea of it happening tells us that it is a picture of what Christ is doing or did on the cross for your sin and for mine. Everyone today that will look to Christ on the cross, his death and in his burial and his resurrection, that scripture said if they look, they would live. And there's so many people today won't look, and they're not going to live because they won't turn to Christ. And that's the picture that is painting. Because of the illustration that God gave Nicodemus, he could relate to. And you and I ought to see the cross today because it was real. It happened. And that's what happened on the cross when Jesus died for your sin and for mine. The pole represents the idea of Christ dying on the cross, paying for your sin and paying for my sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. You know, and what I like about this, when Nicodemus was told this, he could understand what had happened. And I hope this morning that you can understand what happened when Christ went to the cross. And he died for your sin, and he died for mine. It pictures what we need in our lives. It shows us what sin would do to a person. It would send you to a devil's hell, and that was never God's intent for the nation of Israel. That was never God's intent for us who are under grace today. But the problem is, we won't look to Christ for the answer. We want Oprah.
Yeah.
We want to find it on Facebook, yeah. Y book, her book, his book,
yeah.
All of those things, but we won't turn to the cross. And what I like about it, there was only one pole, and there's only one cross. There's no other name found given amongst men whereby you must be saved. And you know what? There wasn't a whole lot of poles there. It wasn't like he put a whole lot of them around the mount there where they had to go and find him. It was visible to everyone that would look and be saved. The Bible says that everyone look would live. And how many people today would never look because of pride? Because they don't believe this book. They don't believe that Jesus died. They don't even know why he died. And here's Nicodemus being confronted. And he's saying, how can these things be? And Jesus is sharing it with him. And you know what I like about it too today? The cross is accessible. There go that jet lag. Or country one.
Yeah.
It's accessible to everyone today who will look to it. That's what I like about it. You know what? It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter what position you hold. It doesn't matter. The cross is level ground, and that's what I like about it. It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the same accessibility that they had that day, they could look to the cross. You can look to him today and have truth of salvation. Don't be ignorant of the gospel. He's illustrating it to him. He's giving him an illustration of what needs to take place. And when it happens, it's a dynamic life. It's a change forever. It will keep you out of hell. Don't just get the policy. Get the understanding of what you have. Because if it'll make a difference in your life, you might tell somebody else about it. But if it hasn't made a difference, it's probably why you haven't told anybody. If I were to tell y'all, I'm going to end it with this. If I told y'all that Teresa and I got to North Carolina, which we were already in heaven. Yeah. Y'all got that? Amen. Let me say it again. Yep, y'all getting it, right? Y'all got it. We were already in heaven, and we got $1 million when we got there. Most of y'all want to know how we got it. Right? But you know what? We didn't get that there.
Amen.
But if we had, we'd be glad to tell you about it.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
But I tell you something I did get, and I didn't get it in North Carolina. I got the gospel when I got to Turtle Home, Spain.
Amen.
I can tell you about that.
Uh-huh.
And that's worth more than any $1 million, $1 trillion, that's billion right. dollars right. that you could ever have. Because none of that you can take with you. And all the sorrow and all the pain and agony that it brings, you know what? It ain't even worth it. But I tell you what is worth it is to know that if you die today, that you're going to go to heaven. It's worth it all.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus. How can these things be? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about you this morning? Are you sure? 100% sure. I ain't talking about church. We ain't talking about grandma, grandpa. That's the stuff they did when we were home. We ain't talking about the church role. We ain't talking about how much money you give. We talking about, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Where you understood what you did and what you need to do. And if you have, it's a new birth. It's not physical. It's spiritual. And it's a dynamic birth. And it ought to change your life. Because it's a life-changing experience. It's a miracle. And that's what Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus. Head bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Father, thank you again for today, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of this area of scripture. I believe it's the greatest area of scripture in the Bible because you're teaching such a wonderful truth to a man that had no idea of what it means to be born again. Lord, I pray that even this morning, at the sound of this voice, the echoing of your truth, that if there be someone here this morning who's not 100% sure of their home in heaven, that this would be the day that they would make that decision for you. Lord, it's not for my need. It would be for their need. And what a tremendous time that it would be that one could claim this truth that Jesus is so practically teaching to a religious man. I pray that no one would leave here rejecting this truth. And those that have heard it this morning, may it be a stirring of our hearts about the importance of this birth. And if we have experienced it, that we would be willing to share it with those that have not. We have not because we ask not. And we can be a witness and we can be a testimony to our nation, to a people, one at a time, witnessing to those that are in need. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to ask our hymnist to play the hymn of invitation that we've asked her to play this morning, I Surrender All. Maybe you're here this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to give you a renewing of your spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. And I pray that this morning that you let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You know, if you don't respond, it's not because I don't believe you didn't hear the truth. Maybe you're rejecting the truth. Jesus was one of the most reliable sources that mankind had ever encountered. And yet we see what happens when we're ignorant of the truth. And as he said to Nicodemus, you rejected it because you have not received our witness. And I know that many times we go out and knock on doors and we try to share the gospel. But don't be discouraged because Nicodemus didn't get it either. You can give the clearest presentation of the gospel. And I don't believe there was anything unclear about what was said this morning, but there will be many that will reject it and let pride stand in the way where they would not accept it. But you know, religion never did anything for anybody. Religion has sent people to hell. But the gospel, if it's received with the right heart, right attitude, it'll change your life. Responds, we're going to let you play through one more time and we'll end the service this morning. But whatever need it is that you have in your life, and maybe it would be trust in Christ. Maybe it would be church membership. Maybe it might be rededicating your life to Christ. Whatever the need is, you come. Let's want to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved or how that need can be met. Attending this morning is